good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode from MuseTech.net. It's Music Tech, not Moose Tech.
Not Moose Tech. We've eliminated the moose. We've killed the moose.
The moose is gone, and that's MuseTech.net, and we're at episode 10. Episode 9 was with our good friend Owen Bradley from Florida, and he's the director of the Northport High School and the chairman of the Performing Arts Academy there. We were discussing alternate music ensembles, and I thought it was a pretty good discussion. I thought it was pretty deep
very deep discussion,
and we were talking about how can we get those that aren't necessarily involved in the music curriculum into the music curriculum, and Owen cited a FMEA study down there that approximately 80 to 85% of people weren't involved in the music program down there, and Owen had some great ideas about how to change that, how to bring up the interest, and was dealing with some alternate music ensembles, other ways to pique people's interest
using technology
as a tool to get them involved. We started to talk a little bit about some music programs, Garage Band, and there was another program that he was using called Reason down there, and it was becoming pretty effective. He opened up a class, a lot of demand for that class. So, Owen, where do we go from here?
You know,
you talk about good music, and boy, is that a trigger for a lot of music educators. There was a good fellow that just passed away, did the classical music show. It was Adventures in Good Music. What was his name? You guys ran him all the
goodness.
Time.
Oh, my goodness. He was syndicated out of WCLV.
Syndicated, and his good music was, if it wasn't classical, it wasn't good.
Oh, yes.
So, while you're talking about good music, how do you teach today's youth a concept of what good music is? How do we deal with that?
Well, an example in jazz band, in my younger jazz band, I've got two, the lower jazz band, the less experienced ones, we had a long discussion about why we're learning jazz. They said, well, why can't we do, you know, music we hear on the radio? I said, well, number one, most of what you hear on the radio doesn't translate well. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, okay, back up. Let's talk about what do you listen to? They brought me in what they listened to, and I was just appalled, you know, I said, you know what, basically you gave me about 30 different varieties of vanilla. It's the exact same music, just prepackaged different ways. I said, you've got to get more broad. You've got to get more influences. We talked about influences, and you know, who do they listen to? Who the people that they listen to? Who do the people that they listen to? And how are they influenced? You know, and we went back.
I know one of the ways that I talk about what good music is, because I mean, there's certainly a huge varying opinion on what good music is to give the best representation of each genre. So if you're dealing with jazz, you know, we know who the best generation, the best people were in jazz, or with, you know, classic rock, or with you know, even if you're talking about an obscure, which isn't really obscure, but thrash metal. What were the best thrash metal bands, right? Because there's certainly a lot of subpar, you know, ones as well. But you're right. It's the best examples we have of each genre of music. Ellen, what kind of music were they bringing in? Was it all, you know, you said it was vanilla, but what was it? Was it all one genre of music, or what was it? What are the kids listening to today?
It was all kind of what they call speed metal, or some of you, even math metal. The more cerebral kids were like, well, this is math metal. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, they take all different kind of time signatures and string them together.
Darren was a metal player. I don't think you could even conceptualize math metal back when you were.
It blew me away too. I looked like a deer in the headlights. I was like, what in the world? And they looked at me like I was stupid. Of course.
Oh, no. Well, and this is one of the problems. You know, people look at today's music teacher as some antiquated old person that is
Mr. Opus,
a purveyor of a dead music,
a guy with a bow tie and a sweater vest.
Exactly. And you know we talk about you know, the dead white man, you know, the old dead white guy that's you know, doing the old dead canons of things, and sometimes I feel that's how we are. But I think our industry, being those of our colleagues that are in it, though, that's the canon that we have with, and those of us that are a little bit dealing like Owen on the fringe of things, it's kind of you kind of get there and you feel like you're out there all by yourself. You know, dealing with some of these things.
Do you at least have a ponytail, Owen?
No, I have no hair.
Oh, no kidding.
Hey, you guys would get along.
Hey. I have no hair by choice.
Yeah, that's right. So now, I mean, they're excited about. I could imagine if I was a high school student again, and I wasn't actually an overly stellar high school student, but I did. You know, I was heavily involved in music
on the days when you were permitted to attend.
On the days when I was permitted to attend. That's right. When I had the special permission and I wasn't out for different reasons.
But we will talk about that.
But one of the things is, if I was a high school student and I had a band, Darren had a band, Owen, I don't know if you had a band or not, besides the ones that weren't music. But if someone said to me, hey, I want to teach you, I wasn't a musician, I want to show you a little bit about what good music is. I want to show you some of the recording tools. I want to talk a little bit about copyright. I want to show you how to master these things. And maybe even, do you do editing as well? Is that something?
Yeah, we do.
That would be so exciting to me because, like Darren over here, most of my education in technology was from the School of Hard Knocks, and the School of Hard Knocks meant nobody was telling us how to do it. We had to learn. We got the manuals. We got the books. We experimented.
Yep.
It's just like practicing an instrument. If you want to get good at audio editing, you have to edit audio.
There's a lot of things in this world that you learn at high school. That
it's what they call that, the hidden curriculum.
The
hidden curriculum. But if I was a student and I was looking at your class as something that, you know, as a non-musician, and I'm going to say as a non-westernly trained musician, because there's tremendous musicians out there that haven't been formally trained that are just amazing. I would be totally excited to take your class, and I really think that you're on the cutting edge of something here, and something that could bring music back to an interest to those other 80%.
But, you know, Darren was talking about software instruments and, you know, how realistic they are.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding out is, you know, we ask the kids, we'll say, okay, create a song, and we won't give them any more direction than that, and we have to use a classical instrument. Well, one kid used an oboe and you know, made this oboe sustain for like a minute and a half.
Mm.
And we're like, no, you can't do that. They got to take a breath. Well, what do you mean? You know, well, these people have to breathe. You know, so they've got to know, even the non-traditional musician has to know about how the different techniques on the instrument to make them sound real, to approximate to electronically the sound of an acoustic instrument. And it's an art.
It is.
And there are people that do it really, really well.
You're talking about musicianship of the individual instruments, you know, the tonalities and the timbres that come out of these things. I mean, we all know when we hear an oboe player that has a great tone, you know, we're ready to just sign them up at the college here, you know, because it's few and far between, you know, the colored instruments. But you're right. Someone that doesn't have that exposure, haven't been exposed to good sounding, I'm not talking about literature, but good sounding instruments, has no concept of these type of things. But the electronic music, these samples that are out there kind of circumvents that a little bit. And, you know, here, because they are the best samples of the best people, you know, playing these type of things. And it's really scary to me. One of the things that I keep thinking about is, I'm in my mid-30s here, and when I am at retirement age, will there actually be people that master wind instruments other than, you know, the select few?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the samples at that time are going to be unbelievable. These pitched MIDI devices, I've been experimenting with some of these, and I can sing into a microphone now and use some of this sampling technology we're talking about, and I can almost sing better jazz improvisational solos than I can play. You know, because it's immediate transfers. It's from my head. And it sounds just like the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep thinking, you know, with this kind of technology out there, with the sampling technology, a new musician already is emerging. Someone who has a good sense of pitch, but is highly technical and can start to put out an amazing type of music without having any type of training, and it scares me. You know, it's like these people that that master applications, like these video applications, which is another thing. They have no concept of video. They don't know the difference between PAL and TSC. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what frames per second is, and yet they're out there uploading things to YouTube, and some of the stuff's not bad. You know, it's not perfect. I'm not saying they're going to become the next Spielberg, but maybe at some point someone might just get lucky enough to put something out without any experience that's just mind-blowing.
Now, but they can't pull it off live, though.
Ah, yeah, there you go. That's different.
Maybe that's the great equalizer.
Well, I think we're going to see, personally, at some point in the near future, a big reemergence of the live bands and the interest of going to see the live bands, because you're really seeing the creation process as it happens there. It's post, it's not recorded, and you actually get to see people doing the creation process of music, putting it together. And I tell you the truth, I wasn't all about this last, they had this Earth band thing that was going on, and I know it got terrible reviews, Save the Earth, I don't remember what it was. But I saw some of those 80 bands, the 80s bands and 90s bands that were on there, and I enjoyed watching some of that stuff. I didn't necessarily agree with everything that was political background on it, but there were some serious live bands up there that were true live bands, not the pop today where you have one person singing and a bunch of acid pro tracks or loop tracks going on. So I don't know where music's going, and I've a little bit of concern about it as far as old school musicians like myself.
So where are you placing kids at, Ellen? I mean, where do you see kids going that come out of your program? Where do they take the next step? Do they drop out of high school and join Tool and take a road show or what?
It's interesting, the types of things. When I had them bring in the things that they listened to, it was a lot of indie stuff on the internet. They didn't bring me in, stuff that they bought on CD. Or music that they purchased. It wasn't mainstream music. So what I see happening is they are extremely interested in the more personalization of the music.
You could say individualization of music.
Individualization, right. And getting away from the corporate model where it's being rammed down your throat and you have to like it because that's all there is. What I'm seeing happen is they have to be getting more educated about what they want to listen to and why they listen to it.
Mm.
I don't see anything wrong with that. When they go out, they don't necessarily have to be classically trained musicians and go out on the road, but they have to have an appreciation for music, because that's what's really going to save the future of music. You have to have consumers, and these kids are going to be educated consumers. They just won't be buying maybe necessarily commercially produced music.
Now, we've been talking about the 85% that maybe aren't involved in music programs. Now, how is this type of thinking affecting your regular music classes, those that are involved in music and that do play an instrument?
It's completely different, because we're talking about different things there. In band, we still talk about how we're going to get ready for the next concert. I think that's where we lost touch.
Mm.
Band directors are so focused on their product, about getting the next performance or getting the next contest that they're going to, refining, that you just get so tunnel visioned on that. But the kids love the experience of making something theirs and making it the very best that it can be, and honing it and shaping it, and all the fun conversations that we have. It's a completely different, it's totally separate and equal, I'd say.
Now, are you incorporating some of these technological ideas into those classes at all?
Sure, yeah. We're not next to a major university. I think the Tampa is the closest, and that's an hour and a half away. So we don't have a lot of teachers in the area that can demonstrate great sounds. So what I've been doing is I've been taking Contact Gold I got with the Finale program,
sure.
And I've been using the samples in there to say this is what a trombone is supposed to sound like, and just taking the sample sound so that they can hear, or I'll play it on the little, I have an Oxygen 8 keyboard.
Yes, yeah, M-Audio.
Right, and I'll take the, I'll call up Finale, and I'll put in the melody that they're working on, and I'll say this is what it's really, kind of what it's supposed to sound like. Here's, with a sample, and that's, bringing in the technology, and immediately the kids' eyes just go wide. Mm. Number one, they don't expect me to do that, because they don't think I know anything about electronics or
right.
computers or anything, right? Even though I'm the digital music educator. Right?
I know. What are they thinking? that's an interesting concept about that. I know I teach at the collegiate level, which is an advantage in a sense that the most of the students that have come to us already know how to play the instrument. They've been playing for four more years, and tonality isn't a given, but it's certainly much better when they come in. But to have samples, just not samples, but of course you can grab CDs too. But when you're in class, it's difficult to say, okay, well, here's such and such symphony. Here's an example to play. You just want to pull up a sound, and you want it to be exactly what you're playing. And that's where the sampling technology can really come into its own. And when you're looking at timbres, and when you're looking at those type of things, and I found over time that people, musicians, have lost, not all of them, but I'd venture to say 50%, if not more, and maybe I need to do a study in this, they come in and they're so visually oriented that they don't understand even necessarily how to tune themselves properly. You know, they're not, you know, they get in tune maybe once, and but then the notes are out of tune because they're not listening as critically as they can. And the first thing I tell my students to do is get rid of their visual tuners. I tell them, just get rid of them. Because it's ruining them in a sense. You know, it's one thing to have a tuner that puts out a pitch of A440 because then they have to match it. They're using their ear. But when they have that little needle that says, hey, you're on, all they do is they do that, and then that's it. They're on for that one note. 10 seconds later, they're off again, and they're not listening. And that's just – pitch is just another aspect, a simpler aspect of tonality and timbre. But, you know, on that particular venue, it is. It is a challenge, especially with young students because they don't know. You know, you have fourth, fifth grade band, and you give them the trumpet for the first time, and, you know, it sounds like somebody got a 1.5-inch pipe, and they blow through it. You know, sounds like something you might hear from a plumbing escapade gone band.
And with the cost of copper nowadays, probably that piece of pipe is as expensive as a student-level instrument. So
there's some instrument. That's right. And that's a whole other topic for another time. Well, Owen, why don't you give us a wrap-up on this alternate music ensembles and where you'd like it to go and what you hope for your department to get from it in the near future?
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to reach a whole audience of students that wouldn't be attracted to music in the high school, that would normally never set foot in the band room because it's just not what they do, and get them turned on about making music and about music that they're interested in producing, and then getting them to see that trying to get them not to see themselves as outside of the process, but actually contributing to it. You know, that they can be in the in an ensemble or have music at school, and not be the classic band nerd. That's kind of where we're going with this. And we're trying to get teachers to also open up their thinking about how they can include students that they would normally not.
I think you're on track. I think it's a great idea. It's cutting edge. It's what needs to be done. And you've opened up my mind to classes like that as well. I've never thought about teaching that type of class to a I don't want to call them a non-musician because they're not, but someone who hasn't been brought up through the traditional paths.
Calling them non-traditional musicians.
There you go. Non-traditional musicians. And I think it's exciting. I think that you're going to have a tremendous amount of response to that. And I hope that it catches fire and globally that we can start doing something like that, because why shouldn't today's music teacher experts have a voice in all this other 85% of music that's going on out there?
I'd like to see this as a K-12 curriculum.
It's really got some great potential, and I'm thrilled that you came on here and shared that with us. So, Owen, we'd love to have you on more often.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Sitting across from me is Joe Pizzano.
Well, sitting across from me is Darren Morton.
And what's that URL, Mr. Pizzano?
That URL is musetech.net, MUSTECH.net. And we'd appreciate any feedback you have, or if you just want to join part of our global conversation about music, technology, and education, drop us a line. Email is info@musetech.net, or just get online and jump into one of the conversations we have there. For now, I'm Joe Pizzano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll talk to you later.